We have now five here in attendance. Senators Jones, Senators Gonzalez, Senator DeRosso, and Senator Laird. One more, and we have the author here. We have one bill to hear today, and I see Senator Hertzberg here. So, Madam Chief Counsel, we're going to get started. All right. Senate Committee on Judiciary will begin in 60 seconds. Senate Judiciary Committee will come to order. Good morning. In response to the COVID-19 emergency and to protect the public, legislators and employees, we must limit non-essential gatherings and adhere to social distancing and face covering guidelines. In compliance with these orders, the Senate has made necessary adjustments to normal practice in order to ensure that the public continues to have access to the legislative process. To allow the public access, we have admitted members of the public to two hearing rooms to the extent the social distancing requirements allow, and we'll be using a teleconference service for those individuals who wish to testify today. For all individuals who wish to provide public comment, the participant toll-free number and access code is posted on our committee website. It will be displayed on the screen, and I will announce it now. The participant number is 844-291-5489, and the access code is 2355343. For detailed instructions on how the teleconference system works, please refer to the committee's website. When we move to public comment, you will be prompted by a moderator to dial 1, then 0 for support and opposition. Press this only one time and wait patiently for an operator to assign you a line number. This can be a short wait. Once you receive your line number, you will wait in queue for the moderator to call your line number. At that time, you will be unmuted and you'll be ready to address the committee. Please note that in order for us to hear you clearly and to avoid acoustic feedback, you must mute the device you're watching the hearing on prior to giving testimony over the phone. It's important that we hear from you, and we thank you for your patience. I will maintain decorum during the hearing as is customary, and any individual who is disruptive may be removed from the remote hearing or the meeting or have their connection muted. While every effort has been made to streamline the hearing process to conduct our hearings as close to the same manner as is customary, there may be some lag times for participants who are adjusting the new use of the online tools or technologies. Please be respectful and patient to all interested parties so that everyone can be heard. All right, we have only one bill on today's agenda, AB 361 by Assemblymember Robert Rivas, who is here with us. We're hearing this bill pursuant to Senate Rule 29.10 sub B. Before we hear the bill, let's establish a quorum. Madam Chief Counsel, if you would call the roll.
For the purpose of establishing a quorum, Umberg.
Here.
Umberg here. Borges. Caballero. Caballero here. Durazo. Durazo here. Gonzalez.
Here.
Gonzalez here. Hertzberg. Hertzberg here. Jones. Jones here. Laird.
Here.
Laird here. Stern. Wieckowski.
Here.
Wieckowski here. Wiener.
Present.
Wiener present. You have a quorum.
Thank you, Madam Chief Counsel. Welcome, Assemblymember Rivas. You may present AB 361.
Well, Mr. Chair, and senators, it's always great to see all of you this morning. And I'd like to start off by saying thank you to the committee staff for all of the work on this bill, on the analysis. And as you all know, this legislation will seeks to grant local agencies the flexibility to meet remotely when there is a statewide declared emergency. And you know, such as the current pandemic, future wildfires, earthquakes. It's these emergencies that make meeting in person very challenging, nearly impossible. And recent amendments, as to why we are here this morning, include extending what's proposed in this legislation, the teleconferencing, some flexibilities to state agencies and the California State University boards, but only for the next 4 months until the end of January, which is January 31 of 2022. And to ensure transparency, this bill also requires that the public be able to join these remote meetings either via phone or through a video conference. This legislation builds on several widely used executive orders that the governor has issued amid this pandemic that helped to ensure that local governments were still able to meet when social distancing certainly made all the difference in the world with the challenges that we experience with the coronavirus and emerging some variants. This legislation has enjoyed broad some bipartisan support. Respectfully ask for your vote. And thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Assemblymember Rivas. I believe you have one witness, Marcus Detweiler, in support. That's on the line. All right. What we're going to do is each side will be permitted two witnesses, which should limit their testimony to 2 minutes each, and then we will move to public comment where those who wish to testify should provide their name, their affiliation, and their position. Just their name, their affiliation, and their position. So, Mr. Detweiler, are you with us?
Good morning, Mr. Chair. I am.
All right. Go ahead.
Okay, good morning, Mr. Chair, members, legislative and committee staff, and members of the public. My name is Marcus Detweiler. I'm the legislative analyst with the California Special Districts Association, CSDA. When the committee last heard this bill, it only applied to local agencies. The bill would have granted, on a temporary 2-year basis, local agencies with the authority to meet under modified Brown Act procedures in the event of an emergency, following the declaration of such an emergency by the state. These modified procedures are based largely on the executive orders passed by the governor in March 2020, with some improvements made to the process to further increase consistency, predictability, transparency, and accountability. Since then, the bill has been amended with an urgency clause, making its enactment immediate upon the receipt of the government's signature, should it make it that far, knock on wood, and remedying an approximately 90-day donut hole time period wherein local agencies would have been forced to consider delaying or canceling meetings or resume meeting in person amid a surge of the Delta variant of COVID-19. The bill has also now been amended to include state agencies, allowing those agencies to meet under the revised applicable open meeting laws for a period ending January 31, 2022. An extension granted to these agencies for the same reason as locals, to avoid having to meet during a surge in COVID-19 infections or considering the cancellation of meetings or the delaying of meetings. These modified meeting procedures would allow state agencies to meet similar to how they have been during the pandemic. Additional minor amendments, technical in nature, have also been added to this bill. This bill has received widespread bipartisan support and previously passed out of this committee on a 10-0 vote. It is supported by a wide variety of local governments and local government associations, in addition to state agencies. I will remain on the line and listening for any further questions committee members or other folks may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Detweiler. All right. Let's now turn to other witnesses in support on the phone. Your name, your affiliation, and your position. Moderator, anyone else on the phone?
Thank you. If you are in support of AB 361, you may press 1 and then 0. 1 and then 0 if you are in support of AB 361. And we have about 22 in queue, Mr. Chair. We will go to line 25. Your line is open.
All right. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members. Good morning. Sylvia Solis Shaw on behalf of the City of Santa Monica in strong support. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line 30. Your line is open.
Good morning. Vanessa Gonzalez with Career Strategies on behalf of the City of San Jose in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line 16. Your line is open.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Ross Buckley on behalf of Ventura County Transit Commission and South Coast District in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line 33. Your line is open.
Good morning. Jamie Miner on behalf of Eastern Municipal Water District in support. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line 26. Your line is open.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Jean Hurst calling in today on behalf of the urban counties of California in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line 12. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Andres Ramirez on behalf of the cities of Oakland, San Pablo, Berkeley, and Fremont, all in strong support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line 11. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Sharon Gonzalez with the Rennie Public Policy Group, calling on behalf of the cities of Carlsbad, Foster City, Redwood City, Belmont, Corona, and Santa Rosa, all in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 24. Your line is open.
Good morning. This is Steve Wallach on behalf of the Alameda Contra Costa Transit District in support. Thanks.
Thank you.
And next, we'll go to line of 23. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Senators. Rosanna Carvato Elliott calling on behalf of the City of Alameda in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 14. Your line is open.
Good morning, Chris Anderson, Association of California Water Agencies in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 35. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Carlos Machado with the California School Boards Association in strong support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line 18. Your line is open.
Good morning, Sarah Duquette on behalf of the Rural County Representatives of California in strong support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line 20. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Jason Bryant on behalf of the California Downtown Association. We are in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 15. Your line is open.
Good morning. Jeff Neal, California State Association of Counties, in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 19. Your line is open.
Johnny Pena with the League of California Cities in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next is line 29. Your line is open.
Good morning. Laura Preston with the Association of California School Administrators in strong support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next we'll go to line of 34. Your line is open.
Hi, this is Jen Chase with the California State University in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 32. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. My name is Sharon Green with the Los Angeles County Sanitation Districts in strong support.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next, we'll go to line of 27. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Casey Elliott on behalf of the cities of Lafayette and Walnut Creek in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 36. Your line is open.
Good morning, Michael Radigan on behalf of the Santa Clara County Board of Supervisors in support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, go to line of 28. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Rosie Thompson with Metropolitan Water District of Southern California in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 37. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and committee members. Mark Walensky on behalf of the City of Roseville and support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 22. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Andrew Antwi with Chowder, Antwi, Schmelzer, and Lang. I'm here today on behalf of the City of Los Angeles, the City of Beverly Hills, Metrolink, and the Santa Cruz Metropolitan Transit District, all in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line of 39. Your line is open.
Thank you, Chair members. Sarah Bridge on behalf of the Association of California Healthcare Districts in support.
Thank you.
Next, we'll go to line of 31. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Matthew Seiberling on behalf of the California Association of Clerks and Election Officials in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll go to line 41. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Teresa Anderson with the ARC and UCP California Collaboration in support.
Thank you.
Thank you. And next we'll go to line 40. Your line is open.
Good morning. My name is Sydney Hoff with Resolute and on behalf of the City of Hidden Hills in support of AB 361. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And one reminder, we are in support of AB 361. You may press 1 and then 0. And we will go line of 43. Your line is open.
Good morning, Chair members. Dane Hutchings with the Rennie Public Policy Group calling in support on behalf of the town of Hillsborough. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And Mr. Chair, we have no further support in queue at this time.
Great. Thank you very much, Madam Moderator. Anyone in room 4203, the hearing room, in support? Seeing none. We have another auxiliary room. I believe it's room 112. I see no one there indicating they wish to testify. All right, let's now turn to opposition. I have no primary opposition witness. Moderator, oh, I'm sorry, strike that. We have Andres Ramos and Olivia Seidman on the phone in opposition. So, Andres Ramos, are you available?
Yes, Mr. Chair, I'm here.
All right, go ahead. We'll limit each of you to 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Andres Ramos, Legislative Counsel with Public Advocates. We are respectfully opposed to AB 361. I'd like to say first that we recognize the importance of ensuring that the business of local governments can continue in an open and transparent manner during a state of emergency, and we appreciate the author's intent with this bill. However, we believe that this bill goes too far in exempting local governments from existing Brown Act obligations. While it's now too late to amend the bill, we had asked that the bill be amended to require members of a legislative body to appear on video during public meetings whenever teleconferencing. Since AB 361 no longer requires elected officials to participate in person in specified circumstances, the public must be able to view their elected officials on video similar to an in-person meeting. This would promote confidence that the elected officials are actually listening to public comment and would both ensure transparency and protect against improper influence by letting the public know who else is present at the location from which the elected official is participating. To require that both internet-based and telephone-based options are provided for members of the public to address the legislative body to ensure that folks who lack stable internet connection or have no internet at all are still able to fully participate by telephone. The public has the right to be able to provide comments to their elected officials as important decisions that will deeply affect their lives are being made. And lastly, to require that elected officials participating remotely do so from within the jurisdiction and that members of the public have the opportunity to address the legislative body from each teleconference location. However, these amendments were not made and it's too late to make them, so we must respectfully continue to oppose the bill. Public participation is essential to the public policymaking process. To that end, it's critical that any changes to the Brown Act ensure that all community members can conveniently access and fully participate in public meetings in an equitable manner. Again, we thank the author for his efforts in this area. We know this bill is well-intentioned, but are concerned that it may have unintended consequences. For these reasons, we respectfully ask for a no vote on AB 361. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Seidman, are you available?
Yes, I am. Thank you so much. Can you hear me?
We can. Go ahead.
Hello? Okay, cool. Thank you. Good morning, Chair and members. My name is Olivia Seidman, and I'm the Civic Engagement Coordinator with Leadership Council for Justice and Accountability, a community-based organization that advocates for equitable policies and equal access to opportunity alongside rural communities across the San Joaquin and Eastern Coachella Valleys. We are grateful to the author, staff, and sponsor for their diligent work on AB 361, but we unfortunately must remain opposed and wanted to raise some concerns over the newly added language around the Bagley-Keene Act, which we are afraid does not go far enough to protect the public's right to participate in state-level governmental decision-making. In the past year and a half, under the governor's executive orders, we have seen how teleconference options can meaningfully expand engagement at state-level boards and commissions that are covered by Bagley-Keene, but we have also seen some of the gaps in the executive order's ability to provide important protections that are necessary to ensure that public officials are easily accessible to Californians across the state. Similarly, the new language in AB 361 does not include clear enough language to ensure that the public's ability to public comment is fully protected. While language in the bill is meant to protect the public's ability to comment during teleconference meetings, we are concerned that it is too vague to meaningfully provide adequate public comment opportunities for all Californians. And we would like to see language that more specifically defines the type of public access that state boards and commissions must provide. For example, the way the word address is not clearly defined in the language, there are no guidelines for how an agency must provide public comment opportunities. We are particularly concerned with how this lack of specificity could potentially harm communities we work with, which have low rates of broadband access. For example, a state agency could solely provide the public with the opportunity to submit a comment via email to satisfy requirements that the public was able to address the board. However, constituents without access to broadband would not be able to participate under this scenario. We would like to see language that more specifically clarifies the requirements of public access, leaving no room for ambiguity and ensuring that all state agencies are providing comprehensive, equitable opportunities for folks to participate in meetings. Additionally, the current language in AB 361.
Thank you, Ms. Seiden, if you'd wrap up.
Permissive. Oh, thank you.
Oh, that was good. Okay, thank you very much. All right. Anyone wishing to testify in opposition to AB 361 in room 4203? Seeing no one rising to testify in opposition, let's now turn to room 112. 2040. And also 2040. So no one in room 2040 wishing to testify. All right. Madam Moderator, if you would queue up those on the phone wishing to testify in opposition to AB 361, we would be grateful.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And if you are in opposition of AB 361, you may press 1 and then 0. Again, that's 1 and then 0 if you are in opposition of AB 361. And we will go to line 21. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Kaylin Dean with ACLU California Action. We are regrettably opposed to AB 361. The terms in Section 1, Subdivision E1A, would allow local government to invoke the exception.
Thank you very much. For those wishing to testify in opposition, if you would give us your name, your affiliation, and your position. I assume it's opposed. Moderator, could you tell me how many folks are queued up to testify in opposition?
Yes, Mr. Chair, we have one in queue at the moment.
All right, go ahead.
And we will go to line 44. Your line is open.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Brittany Barsai with the California News Publishers Association in opposition. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Moderator, anyone else?
No further in queue.
Anyone else in support or opposition on the phone line?
Thank you. If you're in support or opposition of AB 361, you may press 1 and then 0. And I see nobody queuing up, Mr. Chair.
All right, thanks. Let's bring it back to the committee. Questions? Any committee member questions, comments? Yes. Senator Hertzberg moves the bill, but Senator Gonzalez, did you have a question or comment?
Question on the clarity of the as the person in opposition, I forget where they're from, the clarity on the language for public comment, can you just address that very quickly? I know you have been working on this.
Sure, and you know, in fact, in this bill, I mean, obviously we want to avoid, you know, having to have a hearing at this late stage of the game, but this is an agreement between Assembly leadership, the Senate, and the Governor's office. And in fact, this version of the bill strengthens the provisions around some public comment. And I think, you just point to, you know, what the bill does is it clarifies that agencies must provide ample time for in-live some public comment offering, stating that folks must register and not require the public to, as was the case in the past, to submit written comments in lieu of, you know, in the live comments. And so that states that in the bill now, and so it's much stronger than it, you know, was in the past.
Thank you, Senator Gonzalez. Other questions or comments?
I'm sorry.
Senator Borges?
Are you sure I'm going to leave again?
Well, there's a microphone in the audience.
Okay.
All right. We've got Senator Borges has a question. He's going to move to a different location. While he's moving, any other questions, comments? Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. Senator Borges.
Good morning. Apparently only six of us are allowed on the dais.
I know this is a bit last minute. I supported this when this came to us before. I did have a question from some local folks on local declared state of emergencies or county declared state of emergencies. Would they be given the same treatment as, let's say, a state declared state of emergency?
So the provisions are, so what this bill seeks to do is this bill, the provisions of this bill could be utilized upon a declared state of emergency, and then the locals would have to, you know, acknowledge that declaration and have a local one as well, you know, to ensure that, you know, it's not possible for them to meet in person because of the declared emergency.
So is it only activated upon a governor's declared state of emergency, not a, for example, a wildfire area where a county declares a state of emergency?
That is correct. It is triggered from a statewide a declaration of emergency.
Did you contemplate that maybe making the local determination determinative would have been?
Yeah, so months ago when we introduced the bill, that was the intent of the bill.
Yeah.
But here we are because, as we all know, this legislation evolves, and so this is, this is where we have landed.
Okay, thank you.
All right, any other further questions or comments? Senator Hertzberg has moved the bill.
Twice now.
I'm sorry? Okay, all right. Assemblymember Rivas, do you care to close?
Just respectfully ask for an aye vote, and thank you for
your time. All right, thank you. Madam Chief Counsel, if you would call the roll.
There's a motion by Senator Hertzberg, and the motion is pursuant to Senate Rule 29.10 that the measure be re-referred to the Committee on Appropriations, pursuant to Joint Rule 10.5. Umberg.
Aye.
Umberg, aye. Borges.
Aye.
Borges, aye. Caballero. Caballero, aye. Durazo.
Aye.
Durazo, aye. Gonzalez.
Aye.
Gonzalez, aye. Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Jones. Jones, no. Laird.
Aye.
Laird, aye. Stern. Wieckowski.
Aye.
Wieckowski, aye. Wiener. Wiener, aye. You have one. 9-1.
All right. The bill is out, and you are reminded to get tested before appearing on the floor. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.